We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider from Learfield IMG College. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Cowboys, Dave Hunziker.
Last week, the Cowboys went to Austin, Texas, and nearly took down the Texas Longhorns, came up a few points short. Now, the Kansas State Wildcats in Stillwater, and one of the things about this situation is you're facing two very physical teams back-to-back with a somewhat young football team, so here we go. Lace them up.
Yeah, you know, I thought Oklahoma State would beat Texas. I really did.
I thought they had a great chance.
And you know what? Looking back on it, and coaches and players can't look back on it. Fans look back on it all week. Guys that host talk shows like yours truly get to look back on it all week with fans. And I didn't have as negative an attitude about play calling and performance and all of that early in the week. But as you get worn down by the fan reaction. And so as the week wore on, I think I got more frustrated with that loss to Texas. But I will say this, and I'd shared this with you and John and the guys we work with on the network, on the Cowboy Radio Network. Make sure you listen in to us. We'll be on the air at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, sure.
I'm telling you, you do not get a better preview of what's going to go on. I'm not saying that about me. We've got a lot of people that contribute. And we have the access with the coordinators and Coach Gundy, and we know what's going on, which
is good.
Yeah,
this podcast isn't bad either. So
the podcast's not bad either.
Please continue.
Because we generally do it after we've talked to the coordinators.
We do.
So we've been educated. But going back to it, you know, I thought Oklahoma State would beat Texas, as I said, and I thought Oklahoma State would get beat this week against Kansas State.
Wow.
I really did. I just look at this as being a bad matchup. But because this team lost to Texas, they'll have a heightened awareness, a little bit of desperation. And I'm going to take folks right now into a place that you only get to go when we do our post-game interviews. You don't get to linger in there, but I have to linger in there waiting to do those post-game interviews. Last year, Dave, there were some post-game locker rooms after losses that – I just didn't detect a lot of disappointment.
Understood.
You know, guys were going about their business, showering, grabbing their chicken. They get a box of chicken or sandwich or something, you know, to eat on the bus on the way to the airport. And I didn't see disappointment, despair, gut-wrenching frustration.
Understood. Yeah.
This locker room in Austin on Saturday?
It's different, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It was tremendously different. Yeah. And let me tell you who the leader – well, you got a lot of leaders. You got a lot on defense. You've got Malcolm Rodriguez. You've got Eamon Ogbonbamiga, Brock Martin, Colby Harville-Peel, who was Defensive Player of the Week. I saw today he was a runner-up for Jim Thorpe Defensive Back of the Week nationally. Those guys, it hurts them. And because it hurts them, their teammates sense that it hurts them. On the offensive side, it's three guys driving the bus. And it's the three guys that drive the bus to begin with. Quarterback Spencer Sanders, running back Chuba Hubbard, and a wide receiver Tylan Wallace. Now, I would throw the offensive line in there as a group. Johnny Wilson, the care factor. I always use that term. Teams have to have a great care factor. If they don't care, it doesn't matter. Sometimes it doesn't matter how talented you are. If you don't have a care factor, that can really rough things up. This team showed me last Saturday. The best example is Spencer Sanders. You know, I'm trying to ask guys to do an interview after they've lost a game. They put a lot into it. They're frustrated. It didn't go the way they wanted. And I have to kind of pick a time when I think it's fair to ask them to do this interview. I waited while Spencer sat in front of his locker, kind of in dismay, disappointment, talking to Chuba, who was in the locker next to him. Then I watched Spencer kind of walk around, pack some of his stuff up, go and take a shower, come back, get dressed, pack the rest of his stuff up. And finally, as he walked away toward going to speak to the main group of media, I finally felt comfortable with asking Spencer, let's do this. He's good. I don't want to say he's bad or he's, you know, cocky about it or he's unapproachable. I just can sense the attitude in a kid and whether he's really ready to talk or not.
Sure. It goes with experience.
I haven't had to gauge that in a long time with a lot of kids here. And I don't mean to discredit the past teams. But this group's different. They were truly hurt. I think they are going to work that much harder to get back on the stick this week. And because of that, I think Oklahoma State has a good chance to win. That said, and I know I've talked a lot of this podcast, Dave, it's a bad matchup.
It is. Well, I was just about to say, Kansas State is to college football what the old Phil Negro knuckleball was to Major League Baseball in the early 70s. It is the ultimate change. I mean, it is as much a change as the team that would come out like Army and run some type of an option offense. This is a totally different thing you're dealing with. Not only the Kansas State offense, but if you get into third down situations on offense for Oklahoma State, then you're also dealing with some exotic stuff as far as their third down defense is concerned. That's why they're one of the best teams in the country in third down defense. So you've got mainly their offense that's different, and then once you get into third down, you're dealing with some things on their defense that's a little bit different.
You know, we didn't get this far with Coach Gleason today other than talking about the third downs and what they do. But now that you've seen K-State in a game that was a fair fight, which was the Mississippi State game in Starkville.
Yes.
Their first two games were not fair fights. They dictated what went on. And I mean, I usually watch the complete last two games they played, especially if they have any relevance to what Oklahoma State runs offensively, defensively. And Bowling Green does. In fact, former Cowboy defensive analyst is the defensive coordinator for Bowling Green. The former Notre Dame guy.
I know who you're speaking.
But there was no need to watch the second half of Bowling Green. It was a no contest. But if you watch the Mississippi State game and they give you a good read of what they're going to do against a good team, and Oklahoma State's a good team, the stuff they do on third down, it can work for them for a big play defensively and a stop.
You think it's vulnerable?
I think if you are able to determine what they're doing and where it's coming from,
you
can hit a home run.
There you go.
And I think the one thing I paid attention to was one line that we had with Coach Gleason today. I'm not going to talk to you guys much scheme-wise.
Yeah.
He said that right off the bat. And I guarantee you, some of that, I'm not going to tell you what we're doing scheme-wise. Like, he's pretty open most of the time.
Very open.
I think a lot of that has to do with third downs.
And with good reason, and because it's It's been their strength. It's been Oklahoma State's strength on offense, and so much of that staying ahead of the chains. I mean, if you stay out of, you know.
Yeah, which it wasn't last week in Austin.
It was not.
You let down on that. And to me, it becomes a simple game. Who has the lead? Because if K-State has the lead, they're really dangerous because they're going to play keep away.
Oh, sure.
You're going to have a hard time catching up on them. If Oklahoma State has the lead, they can force K-State way out of their comfort zone, which they don't want to be forced out of their comfort zone. And it comes down to, I called it Neanderthal, and Coach Gleason corrected me. I think Coach Knowles liked my term. It played off him a little bit, but yeah, I think he thought, yeah, Neanderthal, that's what they're doing. It's Neanderthal football, but Coach Gleason called it phone booth football. It's just power football is what it is. Their favorite running play is power O. And I got to admit, I haven't written power O down on a scouting report for our crew in 2 or 3 years at least.
Yeah, two tight
ends.
And
the last time I wrote it down, guess who was running power O? Kansas State.
No, there you go.
I mean,
shock.
You know, but they hadn't run it recently. They, you know, Bill Snyder got away from it a little bit. They're back with that. And for Oklahoma State, the key is getting outside. OSU needs to make this a track meet. If they do and get a lead, it could be pretty cool.
I'm interested to see the effectiveness of Spencer Sanders and their capability to deal with him athletically. It's not to say that Kansas State doesn't have athletes. They do. But we're finding out that potentially Spencer Sanders has some unique things athletically at the quarterback position. Those were things that Texas struggled to deal with. I'll be interested to see how this plays out because, you know, I'm sure Kansas State's going to look at this and say, hey, we cannot let him get outside the pocket where he can take off and really take advantage of his athleticism. To what extent that is an issue for Kansas State and how it might rear itself over the course of the game is what I'm very fascinated to see. Because it may tell us not only about the outcome of this game, but it may give us a glimpse into what the future is going to be like and what teams may try to do and how effective they can be against him.
Yeah, I want to see what – I want to see what our interior guys on both sides of the ball look like after the game. And I want to see what their interior guys look like because that's going to be those three guys, guard to guard on the offensive side. And since you'll see some three-man front, let's just say all four on the defensive front. I want to see what those guys look like because, you know, the side that has the most blood on their jersey, as long as it's theirs – is the winner. It'll be a fight.
So one last thought here. Oklahoma State probably plays as fast offensively as any team in college football. Kansas State's done a lot of things. They've had an off week. They've done a lot of things to try to prepare for it. Their coaching staff's never coached a Big 12 game. I know, been listening to, you know, their news conference earlier this week, and they talked about the fact they've faced it. Can you simulate what Oklahoma State does tempo-wise and really get a feel for what's coming? Or is it one of those things, because of how fast Oklahoma State goes, you really don't know until you experience it? And how much can it handcuff them? How much of a factor can it be?
The closest you can do to simulate it is exactly what they did. They ran two scout offenses.
Sure
now,
did.
Here's the thing. Remember, while your scout offense is running, your first and second team offenses are over there running on another field against a scout defense. So what kind of guys do you have over there on that, especially on that second scout offense? I mean, that, you're talking about a fifth team quarterback at that position. And gosh knows how you probably are running guys that aren't offensive linemen playing offensive line. So they're not giving you a very good simulation. And the bottom line is tempo in practice is different than tempo in a game.
It is. And it makes coaches
game,
have to function totally differently.
Both sides are dealing with adrenaline. You're dealing with crowd. You're dealing with a charged up atmosphere that you don't get in practice, even if you're playing, you know, Mick Jagger off the coach speakers in the corner of the practice field. You know, it ain't the same thing. Or the best is like if you really pump up Sting with Roxanne, you know, but it's still
K-State even did the same thing. One of their players was saying they even practiced lining up and not being on the same page and just playing reaction football, trying to simulate, which was interesting.
Well, you know what? And that's not a bad thing to do because a lot of times in tempo, defense doesn't even get their call on the field.
Just
now, what you do is generally you have fallback calls. If a call doesn't come out, you have certain calls you fall back on. They're called fallbacks. In fact, your safety or your linebacker, whoever is your communicator, he just yells fallback. That's the way most teams do. Fallback, and you get into whatever your base is.
Interesting game coming up Saturday, Oklahoma State and Kansas State. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa playsets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.